With Breaking the Cycle, we wanted to tell the story of those within the social, supported and the charity housing sector. But we also wanted to touch on the psychological challenges faced by all those within society. This short episode is with psychologist Dr. Vanessa Moulton, and this is all about hoarding disorder. Vanessa, what is hoarding disorder?
Hoarding disorder is kind of simply where someone ends up with an excessive number of items and kind of stores them or keeps them, usually, you know, in their house to almost an unmanageable level, so that there's so much clutter that it becomes kind of limiting to their life. It's actually an anxiety disorder and is related to OCD, so obsessive compulsive disorder.
And because there's obviously different ways of, because it is a disorder. A few years ago, I think 2015-ish, it became an actual psychological disorder. How and why can it happen? How can it kind of manifest?
I mean, there are a number of different reasons. As with any type of disorder, there's never kind of one reason why everyone experiences this this sort of disorder. But there are a couple of interesting ones to kind of consider. So one of them, one of the reasons can be, for example, that when somebody is growing up, they perhaps haven't had things in their life, that material things that they were able to keep hold of, and therefore they become really important things to keep hold of, and it ends up that they become almost kind of unmanageable. There's an unmanageable amount of things that somebody wants to keep hold of. Also, if, for example, maybe someone has got a history, let's say, of not having great attachments in their lives, especially when they were younger, it can lead to almost like an avoidance of human interaction. And sometimes human relationships, or that kind of sense of belonging that you have when you are with people that you care about and they care about you, if you don't have that, you can replace that with objects. So they can, to a certain degree, form for people a level of kind of security instead of having that with humans, basically.
So things like love and affection, they can be replaced by, from a human or even a dog or whatever, they can be replaced with an actual physical item, an object. Yeah,
yes, basically. It's, you know, it's something that's easier for someone to gain an attachment with, or it perhaps feels safer for them to have attachment with that. So there's also kind of this notion of psychological ownership, which is essentially that feeling it's mine. So people that perhaps haven't experienced that kind of sense of ownership of things in their life, which is something that's really important to us psychologically, it serves on that purpose as well. So that there are many kind of different elements that contribute to that. So that kind of lack of material objects, perhaps, or poor members, or poor relationships with other members of their family when they were younger, maybe even having a family history of hoarding. You know, if you've kind of grown up with that happening around you, you've never had the experience of learning how to, or when to throw things out, or how to prioritize things and sort things out. So there are a number of things that do contribute towards it.
So it could be part. It could be learned behavior, like what you just said then. But can I? Is that right? Sorry, yeah. Before I moved on.
Yes. You could. It's like it's that, you know, we learn as children, or as we're growing up, we learn kind of coping strategies, or we learn and then end up hardwiring in our brains things that are the should things. This is what you should do. This is what you shouldn't do. So if you have grown up in an environment where it's kind of one of your family members has cluttered and this is what you should do, that can easily be kind of passed on to you as a rule in life. This is what you do.
Can I touch on two other things then? Can I touch on one, what you said about ownership? Let's say, I'm just giving you an example. Someone has been in a controlling, coercive relationship, which is where they haven't had anything. And then the other one is things like a trauma injury, like PTSD or something. Let's say a child died and they kept the possessions of that child, and then that built on. Mm-hmm. So those two examples are very specific, but could you explain how being in a controlling relationship where you have nothing and then where you've been triggered by trauma and then the PTSD has then manifested into that, into this hoarding disorder?
Mm. I mean, the first one is around kind of what I was kind of talking about before, this notion of psychological ownership. When you feel completely disempowered, let's say in a relationship, and you don't have autonomy or have the authority to do stuff or, you know, to make choices or decisions, then what our brain does is because it craves this, it kind of needs this, it feels much safer when it feels it's in control of things. It will turn to things that it does have the capability of controlling or owning. So material objects will then end up becoming things that are much more easily owned, or, you know, gives you that sense of ownership, psychological ownership, autonomy, choice, decision making, again, that makes us feel much more kind of empowered by our life. So from that sense, it's almost like the brain tries to find that in any way that it can. In terms of the something like PTSD, there are kind of different reasons to a certain degree that someone might end up kind of hoarding things. Generally speaking, it will be because it feels like it's a soothing strategy to a certain degree. So if you're kind of hoarding, let's say if you've lost someone and you hoard their clothes, for example, it's because it gives you a sense of soothing. It makes you, or it leaves you feeling that you're somehow still keeping that person there with you. It's a soothing strategy. So generally speaking, to the individual, it feels like it's the way that they can cope and manage their emotions. And if they don't have other kind of emotional regulation strategies, it can be almost like an easy one for people to turn to.
Can it be a standalone, I don't know if that's the right terminology, but can it be a standalone mental health disorder, or does it always accompany another one, if that makes sense?
It's, I mean, the research kind of shows us that it's very common that other mental health disorders come with it, or an individual will experience, there's a large chance that someone will also experience high levels of anxiety. And it's related also to depression as well. This does not mean that everybody, if they are hoarding, will experience those, but there is a high correlation with depression and anxiety alongside hoarding.
And then things we can do, bearing in mind that we've got social stigmas around hoarding. People and media hasn't done that justice, you know, which, like, almost laughing at people if they're hoarding, and TV programs and things. You have this social stigma, lack of education, shame from the individual as well. How can we do something to either help someone who's got a hoarding disorder, or if you have got one and you want to kind of get out of it and break it and heal yourself, I suppose, what can we do?
Yeah, I mean, one of the other reasons as well that gets in the way of people getting support around, because actually, you know, many don't seek treatment actually for the reasons that you have kind of just outlined, but also actually a lot of hoarders don't actually see it as a problem. So it's one of the reasons why people don't seek help, because they don't think what they're doing is an issue. So why would I be seeking help? But in terms of what someone should do, or what we could, you know, try to encourage people to do, I mean, CBT does, you know, support around using kind of the CBT method is the most common use, or the most common kind of therapeutic approach that we would use with somebody who is hoarding. But primarily within that kind of CBT kind of treatment with a professional, with a therapist or a psychologist, one of the most common things that we would do with someone is something called kind of exposure. Because effectively, what we need to help people understand is that they will be okay if they don't hoard all these items. Now, you can't you can't convince the brain that you will feel okay until you expose them. If you expose your brain to, you know, little by little, exposing them to actually throwing things out. So exposure is all about, so for example, if someone is, you know, we use exposure for many types of disorders, but if say someone is struggling with spiders, exposure therapy is the best route there, because what we would do is we wouldn't put a tarantula in their hand to start with, but we'd perhaps give them a small spider or a picture of a spider that they would look at first. You have to teach the brain in small steps that it's going to be okay with bigger steps. So you would help someone, for example, by starting to get rid of a small amount of items or items that don't feel precious to someone. And then the brain kind of realizes, okay, well, I was able to cope with that. Or yes, it made me feel stressed, but I now have the techniques and the emotional regulation techniques that I've got through my therapy to be able to deal with the anxiety or whatever comes up for me if I throw something away. So it, CBT, but including exposure, is one of the best kind of like treatment routes that we can take with someone. So I would highly recommend that people either kind of speak to their GP as a first port of call, to see what kind of support would be relevant to them at that point. And also, you know, what's available in their area. But definitely if you've reached the point where it becomes limiting in your life, it's just absolutely essential that, you know, you either take yourself or you help someone to try and realize that getting some professional support around this would be really, really beneficial.
So just what I'm getting there is a combination of professional support with therapy, counseling, and then having someone who you trust to help you slowly start taking things away that aren't essential, that are part of this problem.
Yes.
Vanessa, thank you so much, and we will leave it there.